It's Wednesday, May 23rd, and Mike Budenholzer has been officially introduced as head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, and we'll talk about some of his comments from earlier this week. Speaking of comments, Aaron Rodgers had a couple of good ones regarding his receiver corps. Jordy or Dez? And the Brewers are coming off an impressive 10-game West Coast road trip. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tapping the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE and at SnowTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Welcome back to another edition of Tapping the Keg podcast, episode 287.
Mitch on the ones and twos. Charlie here with you. How's everybody doing? Happy Wednesday to you all. Mitch.
Happy Memorial Day. Well, we shouldn't say happy Memorial Day weekend.
Right. Exactly. Obviously.
What do you say?
You just say Memorial Day weekend. You enjoy the three-day weekend. I think more people back when people didn't think about those sort of things would say happy Memorial Day weekend or and would look at Memorial Day weekend as a celebration. And some people shame you and say you shouldn't be celebrating. I'd argue you can enjoy a three-day weekend. That is allowed. Obviously, should you reflect on people who've lost their lives fighting for the country? Absolutely. But you don't have to sit in solitude all weekend unless it very much affects you. And if it very much affects you, I completely understand that. And I do, you know. But we shall move on. We have a loaded show. I kind of love where we're at right now with SnowTapWI. You know, you can follow us, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
It is a website.
It is a website as well. Subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, the whole kit and caboodle. I love where we're at because I feel like we are at a point in our blogging, podcasting, where we don't really need national sports to help us out. We may mention them, but we don't really need them anymore. We've sort of got into that niche of Wisconsin sports. I think we always wanted to get there, but I think for me personally, I always use national sports as a crutch.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll still talk about national stuff, but we don't need to talk about national stuff. That's the beauty of it. And it's probably the best time to announce a kind of a major move. I don't know. It's the SnowTap Summer Bash. It's on 6/9. Very nice day. It is on a Saturday.
Hadn't even thought of that.
It's from 3 to 7. We kind of have a bar thing worked out, but we're not official yet. So I don't want to reveal the bar yet without kind of getting their official sign off. If you are someone who owns a bar or you are a bar manager or a bartender and you think that your bar could host us for 3 to 7, we can have a conversation. Feel free to slide in those DMs. SnowTapWI. Send us a message on Facebook. Whatever does work. If for whatever reason everything goes to shit, guess what? That's why they make pub crawls. I swear to God, half the pub crawls happen because you can't get a bar to host you. So you just say, okay, we're just going to go from bar to bar, and we're going to make it a theme thing. And we would. Trust me. If we're going to do a bar pub crawl, we'll do it right, and we'll actually have thematic things going on.
Well, it almost could be the Ryan Braun Memorial Pub Crawl.
No, we have to do a Ryan Braun. Well, that'll happen when Ryan Braun gets bought out later this year. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, right.
But when Ryan Braun does officially leave, we will do a Ryan Braun Memorial Pub Crawl or just a celebration of Ryan Braun with like a full PowerPoint, guest speakers, basically just me and you, and the whole thing. So, no, but yes, I'm really excited to talk about it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know any real details. We just really want to drink and have a good time. We want you to tell your friends who might not know that much about SnowTap and bring some people out in Milwaukee who may not know exactly what we're all about. I think that's part of it. Like, there will be probably some random people, and we want to talk to everybody. We want to talk about partnerships. If you have a blog or you have a podcast, then we could help you out. We'd love to do that, and we'd love to connect with that. So yes, there is a little bit of networking, even though that word makes me cringe, that idea makes me cringe, because I feel like people who just network all the time,
having online conversations.
I don't mind having online conversations. I don't mind Twitter friends. Like, I definitely talk to a lot of people on Twitter, Facebook, whole thing, not really on Instagram, but Facebook and Twitter for sure. Like, you guys are all invited. If you interact with us a lot on Twitter and maybe I don't see you around, like, feel free. Like, don't be a stranger. If you introduce yourself, it's not going to be a huge deal. we're all friends. We're all under the SnowTap fam, and we'll probably have some free beer for you guys to drink. So that's, I mean, why wouldn't you come have free beer in the middle of a summer Saturday?
I guess that's what I'm saying, Brooks.
I'm giving you just a great excuse to drink. So more information on that to follow. Do you have anything to say before we move to Mike Budenholzer as part of the three-man team here at SnowTap?
Let's get into it.
All right. So Mike Budenholzer is the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, as Mitch intro talked about, as well as I talked a little bit about on Daily Tap yesterday.
And you and I, it had been Woj-bombed.
Woj-bombed.
But obviously, Josh, a la cough, cough, Josh McDaniels, there are things that can happen where you think it's a done deal and then all of a sudden it's not. So obviously, until he was, the media lined up in their hard hats and vests, which I'm sure
would make you vomit
at this point. You've seen so much of it.
Yeah, I think the jokes kind of were overdone, and it was like, guys, look at us in our hard hats. Yeah. Media.
If you did see some of the pictures of what, Horst and Budenholzer had to look at, you can see why they might have been squinting a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a reflective yellow vest,
right,
and like lights in the back, and just it was not very nice for those guys having the spotlight and all that. But there was definitely a little bit too much of that.
So I said that Budenholzer passed his first test yesterday on the podcast, and you obviously agree.
I mean, it's just like, I didn't listen to it live. I caught most of it. I think I caught some of it on the radio and all that. And I went back and watched some of it last night. And but it's just like, it's just refreshing to have like somebody who's like halfway personable.
Yep.
As a head coach.
Right.
And not that Prunty isn't, but I think, what I'm getting at here.
Yes.
Jason Kidd is kind of a
dickhead.
Arrogant,
yeah.
Yeah.
And
I'm a Hall of Famer type.
And it's refreshing to hear a basketball guy, right?
Yeah.
Like a basketball guy that
legitimately wants to like build relationships with players. A guy who coached under Greg Popovich, who's a top five NBA head coach of all time, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of what Popovich did to get his teams to be so successful, I think that the Spurs organization's at a bit of a crossroads right now. But I think that over the last 20, 25 years, I think what's gotten him to be so successful is building relationships with players and trying to, and he harped during the press conference too, fit and being adaptive and helping and putting players in a position to succeed.
And I think with a new coach, more so than an interim coach, all these guys are going to want to have their best summers ever, including Giannis. Because they're going to want to show their new head coach that I'm here to play, I'm here to compete, I'm here to sort of be the man and be the best version of myself.
And that's interesting because Chris Middleton, who clearly it's a two-man core,
mm-hmm.
Sure, that's been sort of the prevailing take from the press conference, was they never mentioned anybody else but those two.
Although
Middleton was at the infamous breakfast.
Yes.
But he's also a notorious, slow starter, comes in out of shape, that type of guy.
Yeah, and I don't know.
So we'll see if maybe he doesn't do that this
year. I want to believe that Chris Middleton, that something, the flip, it switched.
Yeah.
Like, I just think something in that Boston series, turned the key for him. And that he said that he knew he finally fit in with Giannis. It took literally a whole, year, but it finally figured out how he can get his points and still have Giannis not be ball dominant.
Yeah,
because if you remember Chris Middleton, and he was shooting threes, and that was a big thing when about a couple months prior, we were just like, start shooting the ball, just let it go, man, get Jason Kidd out of your head. And I think finally he got Jason Kidd out of his head, and it takes a while to learn new things and to get out of old habits, and he finally did.
Well, and that's the thing too, is maybe we shouldn't expect it to be a day one. Opening night type of thing where it's going to be night and day.
Well, and I harped on that last night, is like, we got to not overreact. We're going to probably do a podcast in October or November. Hey, just settle down.
And it takes every team, a while to get going.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you think the Sixers they were rolling there at the end of the season, but they weren't playing like that all year.
Yeah, and the Sixers got benefited by a very easy schedule. So the fact is if the Sixers had that schedule at the beginning of the year, they probably would have maybe went on a run. Maybe they wouldn't have, because a lot of those teams they were playing were tanking and just didn't really give a shit at the end of the year. So the Sixers got essentially lucky to play those teams. And then you get Colin Coward saying that Ben Simmons is the fifth best player in the NBA. I feel like Colin Coward shouldn't talk about the NBA anymore if you're going
to
say that.
Yeah, I used to like Colin Coward, unfortunately, and now as of 24 hours ago, I really don't.
Just such a bad take. I outrageously bad. So, anyways, not tonight.
Take what those guys say with a grain of salt.
I know, and I said that in the blog today. I was like, I usually don't take the cheese, but I took the cheese there. I had to.
It's so hard to, you know, those guys just kind of say things for.
I know.
For effect.
They just want guys like me to get mad about it. Yeah. And guess what? You won, Colin. Congrats. So,
but I mean, it's hard to be a top five player when you're not even the best rookie.
So. Right. After going back to Budenholzer. So I was going to write about this. I didn't get a chance to, so we'll bring it into the podcast. Which players do you think can benefit the most from, it's now going to be Bucks University, and their infamous sort of training camp and what their regimen and all this stuff?
Should I rattle off the whole roster, or should I?
Just pick your, I mean, obviously, pick your top three.
Tony Snell is a big one.
I think Tony Snell is an underrated good choice.
Tony Snell, Sterling Brown, and get this one.
Okay.
DJ Wilson.
Okay.
I see, remember Mike Scott?
Yes.
I could see DJ Wilson being something like that.
Yeah. I mean, DJ Wilson's, you know, maybe a little taller than Mike Scott. Mike Scott's a tall guy, though.
6'10", I think.
Oh, is Mike Scott 6'10"? Is he really that tall?
Look it up, yeah.
So making DJ essentially a wing and just saying you're not really... Just,
you know, like a true stretch four.
True stretch four.
Who is athletic, hopefully. Can get out in transition. Can dunk the ball. Can also shoot threes. You know. I kind of see that maybe as probably his ceiling.
Yep.
And that's fine. I mean, that's, you know, a guy who's, that's a rotation piece.
Sure. Absolutely.
And I'm not ready to give up on DJ Wilson.
No, I'm not either.
He got kind of a redshirt year.
Yep.
Which is fine. I mean, there was really no position for him. But we'll see. And who knows if he'll even have one next year.
Right. And who knows if he's not part of a trade deal
or
something.
We're not necessarily
like
talking about just next year.
No, so. Exactly. And that's those are interesting picks. I mean, Tony Snell, I think that's like a Bucks fan picks, because those aren't the typical, because everyone would say Jabari Parker, everyone would maybe say Eric Bledsoe, things like that. But I think Tony Snell, you have to try to get Tony Snell to think that he's not, he's whatever happened to him, whether it was the Bledsoe thing that fucked him up or being in and out of the rotation, however it works. The team has to find Tony Snell's sort of groove. I don't think Tony's ever really found his groove. Maybe he did 2 years ago, but it was an everlasting struggle for him last season.
Yeah. Well, the thing too with him is that he just, you know, he shot a fine percentage during the season,
mm-hmm.
but in the playoffs, he didn't make a shot.
Right.
I mean, it's magnified now, and that's your memory.
Right.
Is like Tony Snell was, I mean, not really great at all last season.
Mm-hmm.
Defended him up until pretty much the postseason.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, you can't play scared, man.
Yeah, and who knows what really got his head where he just started sort of playing scared and things of that ilk.
I just think he's not a very confident person to begin with.
Right.
Confident player. So when things don't, you know, he's not hitting shots, I mean, he probably feels useless and just, you know. Without getting too psychological, yada, yep. yada, yada. But you know what I mean? Where he just,
right.
if he's not hitting, his idea, his deal is to shoot threes, pretty much. If he puts the ball on the floor, bad things usually happen.
Right, and I think if they work on spacing and say, Tony, you're just in the corner and just wait for the ball, and the ball's going to come to you, and Giannis is going to find you, Middleton's going to find you, Bledsoe's going to find you, like, just wait for that ball and just sit there and go. And the same could be said for Thon.
Which is what Jason Terry did when he was out there.
Right, exactly.
He would literally run right to the corner.
Right, and I think.
Which is what J.J. Redick does.
And I think Jason Terry, adios, like no need for Jason Terry. I understand that he's a good bench presence, but the only way Jason Terry's coming back is if he's a coach. That's it for me, at least. I can't have Jason Terry back on this roster.
Well, maybe Jason Terry's one of the alleged guys sticking around.
So there is that. So that's a good thing to bring up about these guys sticking around. And is Budenholzer just playing the Giannis a little bit by saying, hey, yeah, I'm going to talk to Sean, going to talk to Prunty. I think, I don't know who's going to be back. I think a lot of Bucks, if he wants to get Bucks Twitter to turn on him, he keeps one or two of those guys there.
Yeah.
And because they're already like, oh, you can't have Sean Sweeney there. And it's like, you do realize that like an assistant coach staying there doesn't really mean that they're going to just stick with the principles. He's not going to be like, hey, Jason Kidd did this, so we're going to do this. Like when you get a new boss.
And Budenholzer would look at him and say, how far did that get you? Exactly. And what did that get you?
He goes, "Hey, Sean, I appreciate that, but why don't we do it my way?
Yeah.
Why don't we do it my way? And if my way is wrong, we can try your way again.
You can do the coach stuff and say how many games you won.
Right. Exactly. But I was gonna go to that corporate level like we did last week. When you have a new boss, and you say to your boss, "Well, this is kind of how we did it," and if your new boss thinks that's royally fucked, they're gonna tell you like, "Yeah, I get it. And like, you can try it, but I'd really like you to try my way at least like in the next week."
Yeah.
and report back to me on how you think it's different or how you like it.
And bringing Sean Sweeney back in a very significantly reduced role.
Yeah.
To the point of where he's basically Giannis's caddy. I'd probably be okay with that.
I'd still want Giannis to have like Ben Sullivan or somebody
sure.
be his development coach. I don't know if I want Sean Sweeney to be a development coach, but Sweeney's just kind of his dude. And he's just around as a Giannis caterer, like you just said.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
So, I mean, it's not like you said, he's not going to have any power.
Right.
Now, I'll be pissed off about it probably in 6 months, but.
Is Sean Sweeney poisoning the well? Call us now.
I highly doubt it'll happen.
Yeah, I think he's going to clean house. Prunty's the only one just because of a prior relationship. But even then, I think Prunty might be like, you know, I don't want to watch a team that I just coached, and I don't know if Budenholzer wants to hear from Prunty the same stuff we just talked about.
Exactly. Like, do you think Prunty would want to?
No, I don't think so. I think it's definitely, if he does,
he'd be getting cucked.
Yeah. I was just about to say he enjoys getting cuckolded.
Yeah.
Like he must just be a cuck. Like that's a full cuck move.
That is,
you know, not to put on our mega hats here and talk about cucking, but you know, it is what it is.
Right.
Now Mitch is uncomfortable because I mentioned MAGA.
Well, yeah, it's, yeah.
Mitch gets so, you got so nervous. Speaking of which.
Stick to sports, Charlie.
Well, we're not sticking to sports because we're moving on to talk about Sterling Brown. So Sterling Brown.
Sports related.
It's sports related, but there is definitely some social justice implications there. So Sterling Brown, as you may have remembered, got arrested in January, right? He got tased outside.
Yeah, sounds right.
Outside of a Walgreens on 27th Street, right around National, around 2 a.m. Brown, you know, he looked intoxicated. It happens. Nothing wrong with that. But apparently, he felt like the cops used excessive force. There's a body cam video that should be coming out soon. I think it's coming out tomorrow, today.
Yeah.
And it shows that basically the cops were assholes and, you know, sort of profiled them and said that. And so now he's suing the Milwaukee PD. Mayor Barrett seems to be behind Sterling Brown and says there needs to be an investigation here. And it's a very tricky situation for all things considered.
Yeah, and there's probably going to be a lawsuit.
Yep.
So, and from not everything, but a lot of the stuff you read, it sounds like MPD is kind of, or the city of Milwaukee is kind of nervous about this one.
Right, and Tony Cartagena from ESPN Madison had a couple things, and he's a Milwaukee native, should be mentioned. So he knows some folks, and he said a couple of the comments of a witness to the situation or with knowledge, not provoking in any way, repeatedly apologized. Officers were unwilling to listen, profiled, no way deserved to taser. Cartagena followed up with told that Brown repeatedly apologized for parking across two handicapped spots, said he wasn't from the state, didn't know, honest mistake. Belief was that officers were intimidated by his size, profiled his car, and judged based on car. I can't remember what kind of car Brown was driving. So
I don't either.
You do hear all of that. And yes, it's. I think the police department wants to be careful because this is a brand new arena coming in, and you don't want to upset the apple cart too much. They've done a lot of good in the city right now, where I think the last thing they want is bad PR with the Milwaukee Bucks, a team that also is very open and upfront about speaking out and that isn't afraid, that has some political background. With Mark Lazary being a major donor to the Democratic Party, with Alex Lazary working for Barack Obama, and on top of that, they submitted a request for the Democratic National Convention.
Yeah.
So there is a lot there, and it's not just politics. And it's not just one side of the party. It's more that you don't want to offend something that is going to be, that's become so much part of the culture of the city that it causes a sort of, I would say, a backlash against cops.
Right.
Because here's the thing. Every situation with cops, people are going to defend cops. That's just, there are a rare situations where cops are just seen as assholes and are using an abuse of power.
Well, I think that's starting to change.
I would agree.
There's a lot of situations where people go with the civilians.
Right, but you would agree, though, that there is a certain, what I'm trying to say here is there's a certain subsection of people who will pretty much always be in the cops' back pocket.
Yeah,
whether it is they know cops, their brother or sister's a cop, they've worked or been around a bunch of cops, and they always seem to have the cops back, and there maybe
no matter what the badge,
right? Exactly. There's maybe a 5% chance.
A cop can do no wrong.
There's maybe a 5% chance that they are against the cop, and it has to be an extreme situation. Let's also say this: like, just because we think Sterling Brown's in the right, from everything I hear, it sounds like Sterling Brown did get profiled, and it sounds like it was cops with abuse of power. And here's the thing. I'm not going to always – I feel like this is one of those gray areas. You don't always have to take cop sides. You don't always have to take the civilian side, no matter who it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is both are wrong. Sometimes one's right, one's wrong. I hate this. This is like literally America's problem, and we don't have to go too deep into this, but everything's black and white, and nothing's gray.
Yeah, well, Sterling messed up too. The way he was parked, you know – probably driving under the influence of something.
Maybe.
Is not ideal.
Yeah, it's just...
For him to get tased is a little ridiculous in the first place.
Absolutely. And the fact is like, why would you tase somebody? Why do you feel like you have to use a weapon of power?
Yeah.
And why do you feel like that's important? You know?
Yeah. I think if you're going to pull out a weapon, if there's a handful of cops and one dude... I think a taser is ridiculous.
And I'm also sick of Bucks players getting profiled in the city because it's a trend that has happened. Unfortunately, it is a trend. John Henson, 2 years ago? It was the jeweler store out in Whitefish Bay.
Yep.
He gets profiled. They basically lock their doors and get scared that he was going to come in. John's like literally the nicest guy ever.
Yeah,
there's nothing about John that is intimidating. And if you thought
he doesn't have a nasty bone in his body.
Right. And that's actually a bad thing on the basketball court, but as just a human being, that's a wonderful, beautiful thing to be.
Right.
So the fact is like, this has to stop. Like, these guys are athletes. These guys, not only are they athletes, but they're human beings, and this shouldn't be the first thing you do, because I'll tell you what. If this was Giannis, if this was Chris Middleton, A, it's a national story. B, the outrage is like 100-fold.
Yeah.
So in reality, the Milwaukee PD is lucky it was just a rookie.
Right.
And not someone of a higher profile.
Right. And if they were a higher profile, it might not have happened.
Probably not. And that's even more frustrating.
Yep.
So let's cut the shit.
And I mean, obviously John Henson too, with his situation. You know, 2 years ago, the Bucks were even less relevant than they are now. And John Henson's not exactly the star player. He's 6'11".
Yeah.
I mean, interesting.
I think it was the great Mike Jones who said they used to diss me, now they want to love and kiss me. From, I believe that was Still Tipping. Remember that?
Yeah, kind of.
Remember, do you ever call Mike Jones' number?
Is that a song or something?
No. You know, he used to have 863, I forget how it goes, but you know what I'm talking about, right?
Not really. Not the number. I don't know.
All right, post-pod, we'll play some Mike Jones in the car.
I'm down.
But anyways, what I was basically saying is it's kind of like that. It's like people just disrespected the Bucks for so many years, and this is beyond disrespect, but just not getting to know who these players were and what they were about, and just ignoring them and putting them to the side. And now they're popular, and everybody's going to S their Ds in a few years as they get better and better, and it becomes a thing. and the culture of being a Bucks fan has grown, I think, past being a Brewer fan, especially with the 18 to 30, maybe 14 to, you know, 14 to 25-ish. That's not even a good demo.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I think tailgating at Miller Park is going to trump about just about everything.
Sure.
Until the Bucks start playing in summer. I mean,
right, exactly.
They're at a disadvantage.
Yeah. No question about it.
With the extreme casual fan.
No question about it. Because, yeah, everyone loves a good tailgate, and everyone likes to get drunk at social hour that is Miller Park.
Right.
But moving on to the Milwaukee Brewers, that was a good transition there, Mitchell.
Thank you.
So the Brewers stay hot. When we were here, they had just finished off Arizona. They then go into Minnesota, and they win. When did we tape last week? Wednesday?
Yeah, so it came out Thursday.
They
won Friday, Saturday.
Friday, Saturday, and then lost Sunday, which was fun, and then won again on Monday. So they keep it up, and I guess
Boone Logan stinks.
Boone Logan does stink.
We'll get that out of the way.
That is the one takeaway.
the one caveat.
So here's my question to you is, like, when does this kind of start becoming real? They're 11 games over.
Yep.
They have a it's clear that they have a good team with the whole stats of they're 24-0 if they've had two runs leads. I think they've only lost two games when they've scored over three runs this year. I mean, they're doing some good things.
I'll say that they're starting to suck me in.
Oh, yeah.
Really good. And so, I mean, we're dangerously close to, you know, when do we start believing?
I would say,
you know, Memorial Day is usually the kind of the default sample size, you know, the prototypical sample size, like, well, Memorial Day, you know, you're 60 games in,
yep,
or whatever, maybe not that much, but you know what I mean? Pretty close.
And
you're almost a third of the way through the season. At that point, you kind of start to see who's going to be what they are. Now, the NL is kind of wide open.
Yep.
Excuse me, the NL is kind of flipped upside down in a way.
Well, yeah, because Atlanta's hot, and, like, do you really think Atlanta's going to sustain it? I mean, they have a ton of talent, but they don't have a pitching staff worth a damn, kind of like the Brewers. I mean, they're very similar.
And I was going to say, yeah.
They're a little younger than the Brewers with Acuna and Albies.
For me, I was looking at it earlier today, that run differential is starting to head toward a respectable level.
Yeah, it's 17 right now. So,
which is pretty puny compared to a lot of other teams, but
it's actually good for
it's starting to get once they start actually beating several teams by 5+6-8 runs in that run differential, then it starts to feel real.
And then you get this stat. Kurt Hogg had this today. Brewers have lost a whopping total of once when they've scored more than at least five runs this year.
Yep.
So, and they've not lost a two-run lead this year. They're 24-0 when that's happened.
Right.
I mean, so it shows all this stuff. Is the bullpen stuff sustainable? Maybe not. I mean, Josh Hader.
But even if they come back a little bit, that's still a good bullpen.
Right. At some point, your bullpen's going to lose you a game. It's
well, and it happened on Sunday.
Yeah, a little. Yeah, and in those two losses, really, to that point, the two losses were a Taylor Williams walk.
Mm-hmm.
And Taylor Williams start, and they had, you know, and that's what cost them.
Yeah.
And yeah, Boone Logan
but
has
again,
to get
you can
lefty.
Also look at it and say, well, they only scored one run. So
right. And if Dan Jennings comes back to earth a little bit, he pitches a little more
Lieutenant
to form.
Dan.
And then Boone Logan figures out his slider and figures out what he's doing, then that offsets the whole problem.
Yeah.
And yes, right now they probably have two all-stars in that pen with Josh Hader and Jeremy Jeffries.
Yeah.
And if Corey Knebel gets work, I mean, Corey Knebel was good last night. If you have literally, you could go Knebel, Jeffers, and Josh Hader, how the hell are you stopping the Brewers?
Yeah.
And that is
that's over four innings, probably.
Right, exactly. It can be. It can be over four innings. It can be over three innings. I mean, what Hader did on Saturday night was orgasmic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just pure sex.
I mean, the Twins are those hitter. I mean, they're a banged up team.
Yeah, but they're 16th in strikeout rate. I mean, yeah. They're not a bad, like, they don't strike
out
a ton.
I'm just, my point is, those guys were just terrified.
Hapless. They were hapless.
They were absolutely hapless. They absolutely did not want to be there. I mean, you could see in Logan Morrison's face in one of those at-bats where he was just like, they knew it was coming and they couldn't touch it.
No. And
I don't know if that's his deceptive delivery or what, but it's just like, bam, a 94, 95. They're not overpowering fastball by any means, but it's right on them, and they can't can't do anything with it.
Sure thing. And you know what's another part of this whole, like, starting to believe and starting to really kind of get this edge about you? Is you kind of start hating the Cubs again. Because, like, I'm, like, fully into Cubs hate now. Okay. It took a while, but I don't know how, like, it was just irking me seeing guys in Cubs jerseys yesterday. I saw a bunch of them at the game. And I'm like, what are you doing? The Brewers aren't playing the Cubs. Why are you wearing this stupid fucking Cubs shirt? Like, get out of there.
Yeah.
The Cubs fans who held the Machado sign and blogged out about that yesterday, like, just get out of here, man.
It's cute that the Cubs fans think they're going to get Machado and Bryce Harper.
Oh, yeah. And it's also cute that the Cubs, I don't know if
that's impossible, right?
Yeah. And the real question is, are the Cubs scared of are anyone scared of the Brewers yet? And I think people should be. I think the bullpen, I think Josh Hader's well known enough. I do wonder if the Brewers are getting enough respect, though. And that's, I know that's a small market thing. I kind of hate when Badger fans do that, but it begs the question when I looked at two different wrap-ups from SB Nation and Sports Illustrated on Monday from last week, and not one iota about the Milwaukee Brewers. Not one. Everybody,
yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Everybody cumming themselves that Jordan Hicks threw a 105-mile-an-hour fastball, and he gave up three runs the other fucking night and didn't retire a batter. Who gives a fuck if he's throwing 105 miles
an hour? I've never even heard of him until I saw something about him throwing a 105-mile-an-hour fastball.
Whoop-de-fucking-do!
So, and I saw a power ranking myself, just some Instagram thing or something. I don't remember who it was from, but it was the Brewers were 10th.
Okay.
Like, teams with worse. But I kind of get that because they haven't really beaten the Cubs, and the Cubs are above them.
I understand that, but if we're really going to take that basis, like, I don't know. It's such a subjective thing to go off of. Like, meet me in June. If the Brewers, and then we'll see where they're at.
I'm just trying to get you fired up. I don't really care about some fucking power ranking.
I know you're trying to get me fired up, but it's working. So the Brewers play the Cardinals next Monday, next week at night. And that's a decently big series. Cardinals are actually kind of struggling right now. They're not playing the greatest of baseball. Right. Their offense has sort of disappeared in the last couple of weeks. And they've had all sorts of injury issues. Molina's out. Carlos Martinez is out. So they're pretty banged up. So we'll see. I mean, the Brewers don't play the Cubs then until middle of June in a big series at Miller Park. I actually have tickets for that Tuesday night game.
I believe they
play
them twice in August, too, or something.
Oh, man. Twice
in September.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. It is going to be this whole thing. And as Tim Allen said on the post-game show, I think it was on Sunday night, was like, if you're not at least watching what's going on in the division, like, you're doing it wrong. And right. I completely agree with Tim. Like, I thought on Monday, I was like, okay, so who played? Okay, the Cubs didn't play. Pirates didn't play. That's a half game for the Brewers. Cardinals played. Everything remained the same. I'm checking every day how the Cubs are doing, how the Pirates are
Cubs
doing.
Cubs are down 10-0 as we record.
Oh, you hate to see it. You hate to see it.
Wow.
Just getting blown out by the Indians. That is
a sub-500 Indians team.
Fantastic.
I was actually talking with Rami Makhlouf the other night, and it was about right as the West Coast trip started.
Sure.
And I said, are the Cubs this banged up? And he goes, no. And I go, they just suck? And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And I was just like, he gave some crap about, you know, yeah, we're really worried about it. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. They weren't very good in the first half last year and then won every game in the second half. So.
But see, I'd like to compare what their schedule was like last year to this year. Because last year, remember, they had such a hard schedule to start the year, and then they played all these just cupcakes and seemed like every week they were playing the Marlins or the Phillies and just these bad teams last year. And then and they kind of got fat on that, which is what the Brewers did a little bit last season. So, and if you're looking at other games, the Reds are up 2-0 on the Pirates. The Cardinals are tied at 1. And the Brewers still do not have a run. So you're also starting to see the Pirates a little bit slink back to earth. Like they lost 3 of 4 to the Padres over the weekend.
Well, they did that once this year, and then they climbed back out of it.
Right. But if they were to lose 2 out of 3 to the Reds this week after losing to the Padres, I'd probably be like, yeah, it's starting.
Yeah, getting swept at home by the Padres is not.
No, they won one. It was a four-gamer, but they could have easily lost the game. I think Villanueva from the Padres made an error in the 8th inning, and that propelled the Pirates to victory. Just a chintzy Pirates win. Just what they do in that that fucking stadium, man. I swear to God. There are so many ghosts at that stadium where it's just like...
Oh, I know. It's a cemetery.
They get the chintziest goddamn runs.
It's Bloop in a blast factory.
Would you say that is like the most frustrating game to watch, like an away game as a Brewers fan? Yeah.
Oh... Yeah, I mean, it's up there. It used to be Colorado, I swear.
Yeah, Colorado. Cincinnati sucks because it's just like when you have bad pitching, it sucks. Because I think fly ball, you're like, oh, this is a homer. And it like just dumb shit happens in Cincinnati.
I can't think off the spot here, but yeah.
There are a few. I'm trying to think what else is.
Like Dodger Stadium, maybe?
They swept the Dodgers last year.
True.
There.
I don't know.
Maybe we'll save this for maybe a summer thing. I'll have to write it down and be like, this is one for the times
we'll see what happens as we go forward here.
Oh yeah. And
the
also
Brewers, I mean, it's hard to think when the Brewers are coming off such a successful road trip.
And it comes back like a bad dream. Like they get swept somewhere and you're like, oh yeah, we always play like shit there. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like the Bucks. When the Bucks, there's a place the Bucks play bad at, it's just like, oh, they lost in Orlando. I mean, they're good for at least one every year.
Yeah.
So
there's a bad loss at Denver every year.
That Denver.
I don't know. Well, not only was it this year, one of the worst losses of all time.
Sure.
But you also had that game in like 2000, it must have been 2012, when Sam Dallenberg had like 40 points.
Oh, yeah, I remember
They were up by like 30.
Yeah.
And they ended up losing.
Yeah, it was a ridiculous game. I wish someone would have asked Budenholzer at the presser, like, Coach, Charlie Trischler, Snow Tap WI, it's a website. Thanks for having me. But just want to know, how are you going to figure out how to win in Denver?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, but yeah, no, it's just there. All right, so should we talk about QB1, who lit a Molotov cocktail for the Packer Pinheads?
Mm-hmm.
The Rodgers was in, they're in OTAs, having some stretches, getting a good sweat in. And Rodgers says,
something happened this week that made Packer fans overreact.
He goes,
and we're here to discuss it on Tapping the Keg podcast.
Well, why don't you cry about it?
It's the Packer Pinhead Report.
You gotta play it out for good time, old time's sake. Sometimes I talk over the drop. Sometimes I let him ride. So Rodgers goes, they ask him about Dez Bryant, of course, because that's a hot topic. It's kind of like one of those things that gets revived and dead. It's a zombie. Mm-hmm. It's literally a zombie topic in sports radio. It's like, okay, I guess we're going to have a Dez segment again. And they have a Dez segment today.
Zombies. I just watched a live video of that from Letterman.
Oh, God.
Last night on YouTube.
The Cranberries.
Yep.
Great.
She died a couple months ago.
Oh, Shirley Manson?
No, her name is Dolores O'Riordan.
Oh, Shirley Manson's in garbage.
Yep.
My bad. Wrong female singer.
Same era.
Same era, similar content.
Similar genre.
Well, RIP to her.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anywho. So, yes, it keeps coming back, and Rodgers goes, in his comment, he says, yes, of course we'd welcome Dez, but if we're going to get rid of Jordy, I don't know why we'd bring in Dez. And, man, that's like... You had to fucking say it. You just had to.
Oh, he knows.
Oh, he fucking knows exactly what he's doing.
Aaron Rodgers is one of the smartest people in the world.
Absolutely. But it drives me crazy because Aaron Rodgers can sometimes be a little bit of a pinhead. And as I'm getting... and maybe
that's like some... that's like Aaron Rodgers being a pinhead is like, I don't know.
But sometimes he is. But so is Giannis. Like, sometimes these guys just don't understand how things work. Like... Jordy could not run a vertical route. The only person who signed him was John Gruden, who traded for Christian fucking Hackenberg today.
Chuck just fucked me up with that one.
What?
Giannis is a pinhead.
Well, he wanted Jason Kidd to stay.
I mean,
come on.
Allegedly.
Oh, well, yeah, that is true. It did come from Jason Kidd's entourage.
And if he really wants Sean Sweeney to stay, he's a pinhead.
Yeah, okay, there it is. That is.
No, he's just like, I don't want to get into that, but it's like, he's just loyal to a fault.
But so is Rodgers.
Right.
So Rodgers, maybe it's because he had to say something.
I guess we'll see how loyal you really are, Giannis, right?
Right. And maybe Rodgers is a cover your and ass Rodgers thing because he knows what he's doing. He knows he's playing the media like a fiddle.
Oh, yeah.
He knows he wants to, like, oh, yeah. Because literally every pinhead, every Dick, Tom, and Harry will repeat that comment.
Well, and like, why do you think he stopped doing the Wildy show? I mean, it's like people tune in and listen to every fucking word he says to and just dissect it. And he probably just got sick of it.
And they hang on it.
Right.
And yes, And so I guess maybe I shouldn't be mad
like
at him for doing that.
You can't pay me enough to do this.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I can't even, you know.
Because then turns around, you had a afternoon radio host who had like a poll question said he'd be livid if the Packers signed Dez Bryant and got rid of Jordy Nelson.
Yeah.
And so here's how it starts. And this is just, it is one big fucking machine. Yep. And you're absolutely right. So maybe I shouldn't be as mad at Aaron Rodgers. Maybe I should be more mad at the people who want to spend and two segments on it.
If you're a radio host, you want to set this up for June, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, yes.
You can just fuck the chicken all summer.
You want to talk about a graveyard.
I've been swearing too much this podcast, by the way.
Oh, do you want to apologize?
Yeah, I do.
Do you want to? Okay, say you're sorry.
I'm sorry for using the F word too much.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate it. I'm the one that should be I'm the F word guy.
I've been letting them snap.
We met the shark out on Friday night. It was a lot of good feedback about the podcast. Shout out to him. But he was like, you're like, yeah, I don't know how much. It's like, sometimes I'm a little loose. And Mitch is like, well, yeah, we gotta be careful. And Mitch was playing the hard company line. So I was like,
well, a little, I mean, I don't remember exactly, but I do kind of remember what you were saying. What you're talking about.
Yeah, I was flapping my gums a little bit. Sometimes you gotta dial it up a little bit for the tappers.
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh, I remember what I said to you. I'm not gonna repeat it.
Yeah, no.
Because it would go against what I said.
Exactly. Kind of, exactly. I'm not gonna mousetrap here.
Yeah.
But no, the thing is like, yeah, so maybe Rodgers, it's just one of those things where we shouldn't make a big deal out of it. But I probably will write a story about it too, because it's good clicks, man. Unfortunately, that's the thing.
Clicks, man.
It's the clicks.
It's the hashtag content.
That's why I wrote a thing about Colin Cowherd today.
It's the clicks.
It's the clicks.
It's the clicks.
Seeing where we have a time.
We are doing pretty good.
Dog come ahead. Do you have anything else? Anything else on your back burner?
No.
How'd you feel about PFT's name getting revealed? Since we're internet people and we talk. So for those who don't know, part of my takes, probably top podcast, top sports podcast, PFT commentator, probably one of the top Twitter people.
Commenter,
probably one of the top Twitter people out there. Had a glowing article in the Washington Post. And so Deadspin, who's about as petty as it gets.
Deadspin, they think they're the internet police.
Right. But they have such a war with Barstool. And they've had a war, and especially this Laura Wagner, who wrote the article. She writes this big op-ed about who he really is and talks about his name and reveals his first and last name and says all this stuff about PFT. And it was just sort of a shitty piece. It was so petty, so uncalled for. And I don't know. Well, yeah, and he eats what he said. He's like, let's just not talk about it again.
What did he do to spark this?
Basically, they just got so many glowing reviews. It's like, hold up. Remember, Barstool is this misogynistic, racist, yada yada yada.
I don't think they're known as racist. I just think it's
People paint them as racist, man. Well, yeah, they go under everything because that's what the internet does. And it's like, you know what? Like, yeah.
I mean, I don't know about. I know like the whole rape culture and all that. I'll give you some of that, but I don't know about the racism stuff.
No. I don't think it's there either. It's probably the racism stuff's because they brought in Old Row is like the Trump frat boy of the South, and they signed those. So immediate, and they're under the Barstool, but they're just Barstool bought them. They don't really work with Old Row.
Right.
It's sort of a separate thing. It's just we bought you. It'd be like if they bought Snowtap and then they had nothing to do with us, but they wanted our content for some reason.
Yeah.
We're not that good.
No.
But anyways. So, yes, I just don't know why you care that much to, like, write the story, to reveal it. He basically wrote a great piece back and was like, yeah, I don't care, essentially. Yeah, like, yeah, let's never talk about it again. Had an awesome Fear to Deer laptop sticker with Deli on it, which was great to see.
Well, my response to the initial text was, that's hilarious, and Chuck flew off the handle a bit.
I just don't think that it is.
For me, it was just like, well, they're probably not going to care. I'm surprised that it hadn't been released yet. I'm like, how has he survived this long?
Because I think people liked being in on the joke. I think people enjoyed it. And
the PFT commenter is a bit of his shtick. It's his character.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think that's how like he necessarily is. Like, he's a funny person.
No, I think he's a chill-ass dude who just probably likes to drink beers and hang out.
Right.
And he basically said, like, Tom Frunelli, who writes college football for CBS, was like, if you buy PFT 3 beers, he'll tell you who he is. Like,
yeah.
And that's little really anybody.
if you buy someone three beers, you're going to learn a lot about somebody. So, yeah, I don't know. We had a little time to kill. I thought, bring it up, finish off the podcast. So we'll be back with Daily Tap tomorrow. We'll do some Memorial Day. I am out of town next week. At the end of the week, we'll have more on that and figure out if we have Tapping the Keg and everything like that. So if we don't for some reason, maybe we'll be back in 2 weeks, maybe back in 1 week. We'll try to find some time for Mitch and I to get together and have the chat.
Just can't wait for October.
Snowtap WI is where you can find us. Yes, that will be tough. So that
I'm ready for the buck season to start already.
Oh, okay. I thought you were
training camp.
I thought you were referring to the fact that I'm going to be like gone for 10 days.
No.
And yeah, whatever. All right, never mind. So
that could be
for Mitch. I'm Charlie. We'll get out of here before we just stumble over more words. Take care, guys.
Peace.